You're probably familiar with Andy Warhol's artwork, his Campbell soup cans, screen prints, his images of icons like Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley. But chances are you are not nearly as familiar with Warhol's film career. In fact, Andy Warhol was obsessed with making movies. They're not easy to find, but filmmaker J.J. Murphy tracked them down and watched them. Murphy's the author of The Black Hole of the Camera, the films of Andy Warhol. He tells Anne Strainchamps about viewing Empire, Warhol's 1964 film about the Empire State Building. It's a film that lasts 8 hours and 5 minutes.
I really thought, oh, okay, 8 hours. It means that it's like going to work, right? You're going to go sit there. You're going to sit there for 8 hours, and it's just going to play, and you have to coordinate your pit stops because the film is going to keep going. And the thing about the film is it really starts at sunset, and then it goes into night. And it becomes this very, very, very peaceful film. And for me, it's almost like a journey into outer space. And Warhol talked about it was like Flash Gordon going into space. And it really is like a trip into outer space.
Because that lighted top part of the Empire State Building looks like a rocket at night?
Well, you know, it does initially, but then as it becomes dark, different things start to happen. But there's another thing that happened with that particular film. It was shot in black and white. I believe it was shot in negative film. And negative is a very difficult film to deal with. And he obviously brought it to a lab that didn't know how to handle the film very well. And consequently, there are a lot of blotches and marks on it and these very strange patterns that actually appear on the film stock. So between the depth of the image and the material of the film, there's this sort of tension, but it really starts to appear like stars in the galaxy. It's a little bit like the Vaya Selman Starry Night painting series. That's the experience of the film for me. Each section is different, and I describe it in some detail just because it was important to get at what happens. But it's not that nothing happens. There's actually quite a bit happens in the course of that film as different lights get turned off and things change, that you have these marks on the film. You seem to be on this journey. So I think it's very interesting that he didn't film it during the course of the day, which is, you know, I think most people would have thought he would do, but that he figured out to do it that way. Warhol was into high concepts, like the idea of 5 hours plus of a person sleeping, and everybody thinks that, oh, I don't have to see the film. And the same thing with 8 hours of the Empire State Building. I mean,
you think you just get the concept and that's it.
And there are high concepts in Warhol. And some blogs have talked about things like, well, of course, it's just the conceptual film. You would never have to see it. I think that's completely wrong. You do have to see it. When I saw Sleep, and I went with one of my grad students, and when we left the theater, we were both shocked. We could not believe how different the experience of the film was.
Now, he also did make films with actors, people who move around, do things on screen, but even then, he didn't really like plots or even scripts very much.
No, he worked with a screenwriter who wrote scenarios, and I'm talking about Ronald Tavell, who was a playwright and a writer. But Warhol more or less subverted the scripts that Tavell wrote, and that's part of the tension of the films that he made with Tavell, which are actually some of the most interesting ones that Warhol made. He didn't really like plot either. He said that when films have plot, then once you know the plot, you would never want to watch it again. I don't necessarily agree with that. There are many films that have plots that I see multiple times, but for him, that's the way he saw it.
Well, he also seems to have really wanted somehow to film reality.
He was very...
He didn't want acting.
Right. His idea of acting really comes from Jack Smith, and it's that the real personality of the actor comes through. So he would think that Meryl Streep would be a terrible actress or actor because it has to do with the level of artifice in Hollywood performance. I mean, there's a certain type of acting, but it has a high degree of artifice. That was the opposite of what Warhol really considered to be good acting. For Warhol, acting was when people were themselves, when they slipped from being in a role where they're unself-conscious and they're just being themselves and their real personality shines through.
Now, Warhol was also really interested in the concept of the star, the superstar. He had a superstar on film. He loved working with Edie Sedgwick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who was she and what was so captivating about her for Warhol?
Well, I think that Warhol, when he found Edie Sedgwick, I think that he thought he had found Marilyn Monroe. She had a kind of presence about her. There is this mysterious thing that happens when certain people are filmed, right? Where all of a sudden there's this transformation that occurs, like on the camera. And that's why people do screen tests. Edie was like his beautiful twin on some level. She was from a very wealthy family. She was from Cambridge, came to New York. She became a highly successful fashion model. And he wanted to create vehicles for her to be a movie star. She was in Vinyl. In Vinyl, he added her at the last minute, and all she did was sit on a trunk on the side of the frame. And what's interesting about the film, that was a star vehicle for Gerard Malanga. But when you watch the film, you watch Edie. She somehow is so captivating that you watch her reaction to everything that's taking place because she hasn't a clue what's taking place. And what's taking place, there are all these scenes of torture and whatnot. And she doesn't know what's going on. And so it registers. She becomes kind of the moral conscience of the film. And there are times when there are dance numbers where there's times when she gets into it and then she realizes that that's sort of an inappropriate response. And so it really becomes fascinating to watch her.
He made one movie about her, Poor Little Rich Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And half of it's out of focus. The first half of it's out of focus. And the thing that I find interesting is you can watch it, and it's still fascinating, even though it's out of focus. I mean, how many people can watch an out-of-focus film?
But most of the film, right, is just Edie kind of getting dressed, sitting on her bed, making up her face, putting
exactly.
on music, getting ready to
exactly.
go out, talking on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. And occasionally, she comes in for a very brief moment. She'll come into focus, and then it'll be put out of focus again. I mean, it was deliberately shot out of focus. And then in the second half of the film, it's like we're in her dressing room. And it's so shocking after the first part because we can't really see her. And then to be able to see her, and she's undressed, and she has just a bra and panties, and she's sitting there, and she's being interviewed. And it's a very subtly manipulative interview where she gets a phone call. She was fascinated with Bob Dylan. And so there were all these digs at Bob Dylan, so there are Bob Dylan songs.
That's different from what I did
last week, but that's not so bad.
Somebody told me that I changed so much each time they saw me that they didn't recognize me. Do you believe that? I don't think it's true.
Chuck Wine, who's really supposed to be her friend but sort of betrays her in all the films in which he collaborated with Warhol. The basic setup is that he's her confidant, but then he does something to betray her in the course of the film. And what happens in that film is that she gets very stoned, and so she doesn't realize what is going on.
Did she feel later watching these films, did she feel betrayed and manipulated?
Yes, she did. Yes, and she had a falling out. She eventually came to think that people were making fun of her in the films.
Sounds and I don't like think they that, were.
Yes and no. I don't think that Warhol was making fun of her. I think that he thought that she was just really interesting, and he was trying to find ways to make her interesting. I don't
a little uncomfortable, too.
Yeah.
So one of his most famous films is The Chelsea Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a film in which he tried something technologically really on the edge, two screens
mm-hmm.
with two different films playing simultaneously.
Right. So that the film is never the same because the projectors aren't synchronized and so they're staggered. And so it's always, it depends on the projectionist being able to follow instructions. And the instructions are fairly complicated. So anytime that you see it, it's going to be slightly different depending on the projectionist and how fast the projectionist switches reels and whatnot. And it's also very hard to write about, I should say, because you're watching...
Which film are you writing about?
It's watching two screens, so there's a certain degree of complexity, and it's a fairly long film. It's not quite 4 hours, but it's over 3.5 hours.
What's it about?
It's about life in the Chelsea Hotel. I mean, that's the idea of it. It's supposed to be different rooms. This is all taking place in the Chelsea Hotel, although the concept, there are some holes in the concept.
How did mainstream critics react?
Well, the mainstream critics, for instance, the New York Times or the Variety or Time Magazine, thought it was boring and chastised him for what he was doing. But Jack Kroll in Newsweek wrote a rave review, as did Jonas Mekas in The Voice. But the Jack Kroll article, the review, called it the Iliad of the Underground. He actually wrote a good review of the film. It created a lot of attention for the film, and a lot of people did get to see the film as a result. If he had a better distributor, he would have made it a lot more money.
Is there an overarching philosophy that Warhol had about film that would kind of pull all of his films together?
Well, I think the thing that Warhol was most interested in was he was really trying to understand cinema. And so he was really experimenting. He wanted to push the boundaries of cinema. So I think that if there's one thread through his work is that he was trying not to repeat himself, and he was always trying to do something different every time that he made a film. And that's very difficult to do. And I think that he was asking a lot of questions about the medium in the same way that he questioned what was painting, what was sculpture. He was also questioning what is cinema.
J.J. Murphy is a filmmaker and film professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's the author of The Black Hole of the Camera, the films of Andy Warhol. He spoke with Ann Strainchamps. And this is Dean and Britta, with music from their album 13 Most Beautiful, songs for Andy Warhol's screen tests.